Welcome to At a Crossroads with the Naked Podcaster, where we bear it all emotionally and spiritually. This podcast is designed to support and uplift you as a Christian. I'm your host, Jen Taylor from momof18.com. Each week on the podcast, I'll bring you an inspiring message to support you in designing and creating a vibrant, fulfilling life. Before we dive in, please visit all of the links in the communities as this is a live broadcast. Feel free to ask questions I can answer during the podcast. At Crossroads with the Naked Podcasters for Christians who know that there is more to life and that our true authentic souls are built for greatness. You are built with strength and love that is meant to shine through during times of conflict and celebration. Welcome. I can't wait to bear it all with you. In my business as a coach for Christian women, I help them to step into who they are meant to be inspired by their purpose and God-given gifts. Follow the links to sign up for my free training on how you as a Christian can begin to design the life that's meant for you. Reach out to me at any time on momof18.com.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to At a Crossroads with the Naked Podcaster. Erica!
Hey, how you doing?
I have to click a whole bunch of different things to get us all. We're all clicked now. Great. How are you doing?
I'm good.
we just realized, like, I've been connected to you for like 5 years now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I found you on EO Fire.
Yeah, I think so.
Yes, you were in an interview on John Lane Dumas, and it was one of my favorite interviews.
Oh,
I stalked you after that. And then I have hired you as my coach a couple different times, and that's been awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been on before. Jump in and let's talk about who you are right now, your business, your website, how passionate you are. And then I know we're going to jump into, we haven't been on together talking since pre-pandemic. Mm-hmm. So I think I really want to talk about how people are doing with that, comparatively speaking. So tell us all about you.
Yeah. So I'm a business and lifestyle mentor. I have had some sort of a coaching business since 2004 in different ways. And right now I'm mainly focused on, I just see just so much exhaustion with women entrepreneurs and them just wasting so much time on things that don't need to be done, things that aren't bringing in any money. And I have this 2-hour webinar about it now because it's so long, because I had to like spell everything out and get through to people that you're wasting your time. Life's short. Like we just talked about the pandemic, life's short. And why do you want to spend 8 hours a day on your computer? Yeah, you have a freedom business, but you're attached to your computer all day long. So it's right. Yeah, it's on this trip right now with cutting so much things out of my business and everyone else's.
What are the biggest time sucks?
Well, social media and not using social media properly. So they're on social media all day, but they're not really getting any business from it. And then what I see is a lot of people, and I was guilty of this myself for years, was I really enjoy making YouTube videos and I enjoy podcasting, but those are like business hobbies. There's other things that I'd rather be doing. Like I finally got through my big head like this past few months that, you know, yeah, I love podcasting, but I'd rather be hiking and on the beach. Mm-hmm. Or I'd rather be, you know, I'm reading all these business books, but I'd rather, like, do I need to know anything else? Like, of course, learning's good, but it's just when that like is all you read and there's no novels or anything, that it's not healthy and it's wasting, you're literally wasting your life. Just keep consuming other people's content, keep having insignificant conversations in the DMs on social media.
Oh, and my gosh.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of fires here. So if I cough, it's fires, everyone. Not that you can catch anything from me, but the fires are bad. Anyway, so I know what you mean. I did, because I've done this podcast for 4.5 years, and I used to have several days a week. I had like 3 or 4 days a week open to do interviews. Cause in the beginning you're like hungry, right? You're desperate to get people on to know that you have like 4 weeks out. Then I hit a point where I was like, I did a John Lee Dumas, a schedule, mm-hmm. everything in one day, mm-hmm. only do one day, except he schedules 7 in one day. Cause he goes, he has a release every single day. I was releasing once a week. And I ended up being like almost like 10 months ahead. So if you recorded with me today, it wouldn't even release for 10 months. And I was like, this is ridiculous. So it's interesting how you go from having like that scarcity feeling, like I need to get people, I need to like more than abundance, and you really need to set parameters. Cause I mean, I know I was like, this is not working. I'm exhausted. I was doing 4 to 6 interviews in one day. That part was fine. If I released every day, that wouldn't bother me. I don't mind recording that many and just having one day, but because I wasn't releasing every day, there was no reason. And now it's an hour and a half a week. An hour and a half a week from several days. Like,
you're right.
I think people don't realize what a time suck it is. And let's talk Facebook DMs.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. You know, I'm really, I love connecting when the connection's genuine, like we found each other.
You
want to find people, right? But you can generally tell pretty quickly how the conversation's going to go or what's going to happen. I mean, some take a couple things back and forth, but generally you can tell, man, just delete and move on. Is that your suggestion?
I was on Facebook for quite a while and got a lot of clients from it, but I never did the whole private DMing thing. And then I left all social media for 8 months.
I
deleted all my accounts. I didn't just get off social media and take a break. I deleted everything. I deleted 10 years of content. And then when I came back, it was like overwhelmingly blaring at me that, oh my gosh, how much time has been wasted in these superficial conversations where, like, everyone's, for example, people, I recently am testing, you know, some Facebook stuff, and I'm back on Facebook and I'm getting 100 friend requests a day from random people. And they're like, hey, what do you do? Like, if you looked at my Facebook page, you would know what I did. Like, why are you just copying and pasting the same message to everyone? And it's just gotten out of hand. And I think, you know, back to the pandemic, I mean, everyone's at home. Everyone may have lost their regular job and they're really trying to hustle multi-level stuff on social media and what have you. But I've even been messing with people. This morning, someone DM'd me and I'm like, you're just a pitch on hello. I always say never pitch on hello, never pitch on aloha. And so I've been messing with them. And this one girl, I'm like, I'm doing a survey. How many hours a day do you spend DMing strangers on Facebook? And how many clients have you ever got from this? And she didn't even know that I was being sarcastic. She took me seriously. And she's like, oh, I've been doing it for 2 weeks. And I never got a client. I'm like, okay. Like, I've been asking them, does this work for you? Like, how many hours a day do you spend on this? And it was just ridiculous when I came back and had such a long break and then came back. And I was like, oh, my God, this is a time suck.
It is. And I remember when you went off and I was like, how? Because we keep in touch in other ways. Mm-hmm. So like, how are you doing that? Because Facebook, unfortunately, is where I get most of my traction.
Yeah.
I wish it was Instagram, although Facebook owns it. Like, what's the difference? Right. Although I like the Instagram platform better. We all like LinkedIn could be good if it wasn't so DM me your pitch, you know, like that's the worst one for me. But Facebook at the beginning, Facebook's catching up. At the beginning of the pandemic, I felt like everybody was lost. Everybody felt kind of alone. Everyone was struggling with, like, we've been online for years and years, right? Zoom wasn't new to me. I was like, oh, everybody join my party. I've been online for years.
Right.
But it was really new for a lot of people. And they didn't know how to handle the whole situation. And at first there was so much more connection, like genuinely lost, scared, anxiety, uncertainty. People were really genuinely connecting. And then the pendulum swung the other way to, I call it, it's like sex without foreplay.
It got worse. It didn't get better. It got, worse. For humanity, it got worse instead of better.
It's terrible now. It's terrible. And yeah, you're right. I mean, at least look. And, you know, even when you do that and you crap. I mean, I'm not opposed to a copy paste message that's super genuine.
Right. Right.
I'm saying almost the same thing to everybody. So tweaking it a little bit, but looking at their profile first, so I can tweak it a little bit. And still, Baskin Robbins is 32 flavors because not everybody likes one, and you're not going to be a good fit for everyone. So you're going to have, you know, yesterday I had a lady, I obviously, she was just unhappy with me. And I thought, oh, cool. Okay. I don't care. But so that stuff's going to happen. I just find it's a lot more just disingenuous now.
Yeah, it seems so. Cause I think, well, people have always been super, super distracted. And now there's more things to worry about. Like, do I have my mask with me? And all, you know, all this other stuff we have to worry about. So people are even more distracted. And so they're getting shorter and less genuine on social media, it seems. And it was just interesting. I've been trying to mess with people on there.
That part I think is fun. Yeah. I did that yesterday and I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I knew the woman was being so passive aggressive. And I just smiled and thought, you know, it's like 5 seconds of my time, but sometimes that's not a bad thing. And I honestly, I'll friend request new people. And I will unfriend people just as fast. I want genuine connection. If it's not there, I'm moving on. What made you decide to come back on?
I just wanted to, share some thing. Like I would keep the little notes on my iPhone. And when I'd be walking or something, I'd think of podcast episodes or blog posts or things I wanted to share that would actually help people. And so I came back on Instagram and then I started dabbling in the other ones again, but I quickly got off pretty much. I have a profile there, but I'm not really spending any time on social media at all, except to help with my husband's business a little bit, but not just recruiting, actually not posting anything. I'm like looking for people. So,
right.
But yeah, I just felt I got really over all the vanity numbers and everything. And, you know, it helps a lot when you stop following people in your own industry, because we think we have to do everything that, you know, like Amy Porterfield's doing or what have you. And it's most of us have a smaller circle of influence, and most of my clients come from referrals and this one presentation I have that's on Evergreen. So okay. If I really evaluated the hours spent on social media or blogging or podcasting or YouTubing, it just doesn't make sense. Like if we were in a corporation, they wouldn't be doing any of these things, because on paper, it doesn't bring in any money. Though some people bring in a ton of money from Twitter or LinkedIn or what have you, but the actual path to money is usually not spending hours on social media or doing tons of content. If you have one really good presentation and you just drive new people to that all the time, you don't need this huge time suck of calling them business hobbies. Because I really, like I said, yeah. I enjoyed podcasting. I enjoy making YouTube videos. I enjoy connecting on social media, but it was not in alignment with what I wanted the result to be in the end. Like it just didn't make sense. Like I got booked up for 2 years for being on the John Lee Dumas podcast that you met.
Right. And right.
I got booked up for 2 years just from one interview. Like why did I spend 3 hours a day on social media when I could just go on more interviews? You know what I mean?
Right. And that's where the podcasting, that's where there's a contradiction, right? Having a podcast can be a time suck. And also it can be some of your best advertising. If you're on the right ones, if it resonates, if there's enough following, but a following doesn't equate to
money.
It doesn't convert to money. Right. No, because I'd rather have 100 really, really engaged people than 5,000 who don't care. Right. And you know this when, like I just got rid of 400 friends on Facebook because I was almost maxed out of 5,000 people. It's like for me running a marathon, I'm running this race with 26,000 of my best friends, right? Like I don't know these people. It's overwhelming. And you're just lost in this crowd. That is so much different than what you want. So smaller, more connected people are much better.
Right, right. Always.
Do you want to share in the comments that 2-hour presentation that's so popular for people? The 2-hour presentation?
Yeah, it's just ericaduran.co/webinar. I could put it in.
You just made it super hard for people to find. And I'm super curious about the 2 hours that you just did on like get off social media.
No, it wasn't just about that. It was laying out my minimalist business model. It was laying out the paid for your presence method. It was laying out everything. That's why it's so long. But one little piece was I literally listed probably 100 things to stop doing in that.
So, right.
It was a lot. I mixed a lot of the presentations you saw in the past into this big one. So it could be evergreen. Yeah.
That's awesome. And also, how much has changed and how much hasn't changed over the years? And I want to dive into minimalism too.
Yeah. I mean, a big part of it, there's two things. One, a bunch of thought leaders, coaches, authors, speakers, those types of, you know, thought leaders basically got wrapped up into the internet marketing, bro marketing stuff. And then they got overwhelmed by technology and then they couldn't get their message out because they're worried about how to make a landing page. And so it's just this huge thing where if they just like got their message out, maybe in a more traditional way, or maybe just stuck to one platform, they wouldn't be in this overwhelm and be stressed out and not getting their pure message out. That was the point in the first place. They just got wrapped up by vanity numbers and funnels and all these things they don't need. And right. Yeah. And then the second thing is that if things have changed, like for instance, email marketing, everyone's telling you to build your list, build your list, build your list. And that works. And it really worked 5, 10, 15 years ago, but now people are doing like Instagram stories and your audience is in your face all the time on stories or on other things. Like the way to connect with people has evolved a little bit. And I mean, if you're still doing email marketing and you like it and it's responsive for you, do it. But if you're doing email marketing because someone told you to do it, some online guru told you to do it, and you've never got a client from your email list, then maybe you should try something else. It's just the constant things that they pile on and then they don't take anything away. So that's like this minimalist business model. I'm a hardcore minimalist in my life. And then I made a hardcore business finally being a minimalist that I had trouble with for a lot of years because I always wanted to do all the things. But we keep adding, you know, now we're adding from Facebook, we added Instagram, we added TikTok, we added this, we added a funnel, we added automated, we added all this stuff, but we never took anything away. So you would never do that in like a closet or.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That was a great way to put it. Right. So in minimalism, when you get rid of your stuff, because we're both minimalists, you have a one in, one out. So if I buy a new shirt, something has to go.
Or one in, the most part. No in, one out.
Yeah. Oh, there's that too.
Yeah.
However, when you replace things, you're replacing them or you're upgrading them. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's when you keep adding things to your closet and never take it away, eventually you can't open your closet, right? So that was a great way to put it. My brain went click. So hopefully that will click for other people, because you're right. When TikTok came out, like, you know what? I did a couple TikTok videos with my daughter and it was fun. And maybe you could get on some new platform like TikTok and become a sensation. Like that could be your thing. Mm-hmm. And I always hope for that. I said a couple years ago, Facebook's going to go away. Something else is going to replace it. And I'm kind of surprised it hasn't yet.
Yeah.
Although I'm on 3 places on Facebook right now as we speak. But I am kind of surprised that it hasn't been replaced with something different with all of the stuff that's happened. And there have been other things that have come up that just haven't been that thing.
Yeah.
And TikTok's the thing for some people, but it wasn't the thing for me.
Well, yeah, none of my clients don't even know what TikTok is for the most part. I work with women primarily over 40, 50, you know, they don't know any of that kind. They're not on Pinterest. They're too busy for Pinterest. Like maybe they'll save a recipe or something, but they're not on Pinterest looking for a business coach. Like it's just, if we stop and talk about things like that, like we've been doing a lot of insane time-wasting things for years.
Right. Yeah, that's true. I looked at my traffic actually on Pinterest because you mentioned that, and I was getting so much traffic on there that I did dial my boards in. Actually, I paid somebody $350 to go on and because I didn't want to take the time. It was a total time waste for me. Yeah. So I paid $350 for somebody to just get all my boards organized with all of my links. So when you click on something, it goes back to me where it should be. And I also want to mention content because I've had the blog for 10 years. And I don't even think I actually write once a month. I write once a month for a company and then I'll repurpose them. But basically I went from writing several times a week, just like the podcast, to writing once, maybe twice a month for the purpose of something specific. But then I have a VA who copy pastes it to all of the different things.
Right, right.
And I do not spend any time.
Right, right, right. If you, as long as you don't feel like you're in that content churn and it's exhausting and it's leading you to burnout, like content's fun to do. And it's one of the fun things we get to do as, you know, thought leaders or business owners, but it's when you feel like you have to do it and then it's not bringing in any money anyway.
Well, when you were my coach last year, because I hired you last in April 2020. So you said, go through all of your blogs. And I was so I have 965 posts. And you know what? I got down to like 350, 360. Yes. And once I jumped in and started doing it, you're like 10 a day. And I'm like, I can do this. It was so overwhelming. Mm-hmm. Once we get into it, I got a rhythm because I had the opposite of what some people had. I have way too much content. I didn't miss a single one of those 600 posts that I deleted. I will never miss them. It's just like minimalism. I don't remember anything that I gave away. It doesn't affect me at all. And what that meant was that I had honed it down so I could hire a VA to make sure it was on other platforms. So I'm still posting blogs all the time, but I haven't written them.
Right. But your message is more pure now because it's not cluttered with other random thoughts and messages. So that's why, you know, I took down 10 years of content. I didn't fix it. I took it down just because I wanted one clear message out there rather than my 10 years of wandering around doing different things and all, you know.
Yeah, and I can see that might be a possibility at some point that I'll just delete everything and start over. But I haven't gotten quite there. I did get through 600 blog posts, though. But then when you realize, like, if it's 10 years and I posted something 5 years ago or 7 years ago or 3 years ago that's still relevant and all I have to do is tweak it a little bit, that takes me 5 or 10 minutes to do that and then put it out. There are so many ways to repurpose. It's crazy. So yeah, that's a huge time suck. Yeah. Having create content is a huge time suck. So
yeah, I'd rather have people take the top 10, you know, questions they get and make content around that and then just keep getting it in front of new people than to keep constantly creating new stuff if they don't like doing content. Because I know a lot of people love it and a lot of people don't like it. And I like to help people that are feeling overwhelmed and burnout that you don't have to do everything because every single thing works. So, I mean, LinkedIn works, Facebook works, email marketing works, funnels work, webinars work, like everything works. So there's no reason to do everything. And you might need some tweaking in your messaging, but there's no reason to do everything.
I love anything that can, like you said, you took all of those different webinars and you created one that's evergreen. And that's one thing that I loved doing is spending an hour and a half. I mean, there was more of that in planning it out, like organizing your information. But I had the information. I just organized the information and did that. You know, you do that 1 hour webinar, that 2 hour webinar, and it is you never have to do it again. It's done.
Right. Yeah, I mean, right. I need some updating, but the thing is that we have too many people creating new content for the same people. But what you really should do is create one really good presentation and get new people all the time. So a lot of us are doing it backwards. We keep creating free content for the same old people that'll never hire you.
That is a problem. So let's talk about that because that's great. You may have great content, a great business model, a clear message, and still have trouble getting clients and like, I don't like the thought of just spinning my wheels, like a truck stuck in the mud, right? Just spinning my wheels. So you're right. Most people are doing it backwards. So what is the, some of the answer to that? I know what I think some of the answer is to that, but I want to know what, because if you have the same audience and you're preaching to the same audience and they're not your clients and you're not changing, you either have to change your audience or do something different.
Right. Or they're just not, they're not going to invest ever in, and I don't believe in that nurturing for people for like 5 years on an email list. And then one day they're ready and then they sign up. It rarely happens. I mean, it might happen for other people, but I've worked with hundreds of online entrepreneurs and that is very, very rare. I'd even say for myself, I've probably only received 3 clients that have been on my email list forever and they finally were ready. Like, it just doesn't work like that. People find you online. The people that buy are looking for an answer to their problem. And if you are there with the answer, they will check out your energy and check out, you know, that's why I think you should have a few little things of content. So because people are going to see that you have the solution. And then if they like your energy, they're going to buy it. And it doesn't have to, it's usually not a long drawn out relationship. It's usually people hear you on a podcast or stumble upon something or they Googled something because they were looking for something. And then you had the answer they needed and you had the right energy for them. And it happens really fast. I don't think a 20-step funnel is the answer.
Come on. No, just the whole sales funnel thing makes my brain crazy. It makes me crazy. So yeah, I mean, I think anytime you're taking steps, you can consider that a funnel, but wrong steps, wrong energy, wrong way to do it. No. And it also, I mean, everything when it starts, like ClickFunnels, there's nothing, like you said, there's nothing wrong with it. It's not my thing. It's not what I want to be doing. But there's
love building them. Yeah. I'm very techie. I love building them. And I love, like, oh, if they do this, then we send them that email. If we do this, we send them that. Like I love it, but I you have to also think, would I like to be in this funnel?
Yes.
I don't
want some to. You do, right?
Right. Some of you.
When there's a person that I really, like you said, you love their energy, you like what they say. We've been in touch for 5 years now, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, then you want to get their content. But as much as I like you, if you were emailing me every day,
right,
I would become exhausted. So you're right. You have to look at what would it feel like to be. There's nobody's content that is so great and changes my life so much that I need to have something pop up every single day in my email.
Right.
So you have to gauge that stuff.
Yeah. And if you find yourself not liking to do something, are you doing it because someone told you? Or if you think about it of, you know, would I like to get this email? Would I like to be emailed once a week, a newsletter? And you don't, then don't do that to your people because they're probably the same as you. So like, I don't like, I don't sign up for any newsletters or anything. So I don't do newsletters anymore. That kind of thing.
You don't send them out either?
No, I'd stop doing that. Yeah, I don't.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't even notice that you stopped.
So infrequent. All right. So that pressure of always having to have a newsletter every week, like I was on top of it for years, but then now I only send, if someone signs up for the webinar, they get a ticket. That's about it. They don't get constantly emailed anything. So I just decided to stop doing that because I can't remember so many vacations I was like stressed about getting my stupid newsletter out. It's like,
oh,
and
no.
The open rate is so that for most, I mean, the open rate is like 20% or less in most cases. Most people, it's like 2%. And there's just so many other ways to reach people now. You don't have to do those older methods unless you love doing it. I have a client that she writes these super long emails like 3 times a week and she loves it and her clients love it and it's fine, but I don't.
I have like a 40% open rate. I have a pretty high open rate, which is good. And I like them. I'm not consistent about them. And I try, you know, I mean, it's, it's good and I like it, but it's not like I have to do, I would never feel pressured on vacation. I would never, it does, it's, I'm not that invested in it, but I'm glad I have a good open rate. And that's the goal, mm-hmm. is that you're connecting and reaching people. So, but again, like you can have 10 million followers. If nobody's engaging, it doesn't matter. Yeah. You're like a really unpopular influencer. Who cares? So your numbers can be high, but it's not your numbers. It's your engagement. And if engagement, like if people aren't replying to those emails just because they open them, how much is it really doing them? You know, is it
and
worth
doing
it?
Because other entrepreneurs are doing it. Is probably never a good thing. So I always tell people to get out of the online entrepreneur space. If you're in it and you're in that like rat race, like go to other industries and see how they are marketing and see how they are getting clients and see how much more direct it is and maybe learn from other companies. So like I spend a lot of time in real estate. I spend a lot of time in the mortgage business and everything. And they do things very differently than the online guru people, and they get clients directly and they get them quick, and they don't have to proclaim their ideal client avatar. It just naturally happens. I can't believe so many entrepreneurs, they'll waste like months. Oh, I don't want to market yet. I'm still working out my ideal client avatar. And it's just an excuse to not do the scary salesy stuff that you have to do. So
true. And also for most of us, our ideal client is you back always. So where were you 5 years ago or 10 years ago or whatever? I mean, I am my ideal client when I was younger. Right. Through interviewing on this for 4.5 years, I've had almost 100% entrepreneur interviews, and 100% of them built their business from their struggle. Mm-hmm. So they took something that they went through and created a business to help others faster, easier, and more supported. That's the bottom line. You are your avatar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're welcome. Bing. That's it. That's my coaching for today.
Yeah. Done.
That's the avatar. That's it. So do you want to talk about the mortgage business and real estate and how different it is? First of all, you can talk about the mortgage business because that's something your husband's doing. So we can discuss that if you'd like to.
Yeah, sure. Well, I was in before I was a coach, I was a sales director at a lot of hospitality companies and mortgage companies in real estate. And I did a lot of short sales. So it's not just the mortgage industry either. I look at music industry, I look at politics and see how they're getting people, you know, on their side or bought in to their ideas. So look at other industries and take notes from them instead of being in this, like where all the online entrepreneurs are circling the wagon and telling each other the same thing, what to do over and over and over again. It's like, it's crazy. We keep doing the same thing over and over again. So it's interesting in the mortgage business, you wouldn't think that you think that it's like a radio ad or something like that that brings them all their business, because you hear all the TV ads for Rocket Mortgage and those types. But really, when you get into the brick and mortar companies of the little broker offices that are all around, most of their business comes from relationships with real estate agents. It doesn't come from mortgage ads or anything like that. So it's interesting that there's similarities too, because one thing, I mean, a loan's a loan's a loan's, and there's different programs out there, but basically the loan, a loan is a loan. And so they really have to kind of be a personal brand. So that's a parallel that's similar to online business and thought leadership and stuff like that. So it's just interesting. And it's interesting to look at someone who's not selling anything but an idea, like a politician, and see how they're doing social media and see how what they're doing to get people to believe in what they believe. And you can even go to religious groups or just other businesses, other industries. What's the music industry? Are they email marketing? Probably not.
Well, I don't think I've ever gotten an email, but that's true. So the mortgage industry just realized that they can get clients through their relationship with the realtors.
Well, I think most people outside of it would think that it's radio, newspaper, TV ads, and it's really a big part of it is building a personal brand and relationships with realtors. And most people on the surface wouldn't even think of that. They just think, oh, I'm an entrepreneur. If I had money for a TV ad like Rocket Mortgage, I could clean up, you know, get all the leads. And that's not really what's going on for the most part.
That's true. So what are your thoughts on, because one of the things I hear about a lot that I experience as a podcast host, and I think is totally possible, is getting onto the right podcast like you do with John Lee Dumas. And is it worth paying for that?
I would never pay to get on a podcast. It's a good idea if that is the right audience for you. It's a totally good idea. It's just personally, I wouldn't do that. But I have clients that do that, and it's fine. It's just another method of advertising. But I think the biggest thing people, when they're trying to get on podcasts, is they have that imposter syndrome, or they don't want rejection. So it's just another level of sales. They're afraid of rejection. They're afraid of imposter syndrome, and they're afraid to go after the big fish podcast to be on. So they don't even ask. And that's probably the biggest thing holding people back. But yeah. Yeah, it's don't be afraid to just ask. If you think the show is out of your league, still ask them.
I'm trying to remember like the biggest name that I'll contact anyone to be a guest. Mm-hmm. And I'm not paying you and you're not paying me, you know, that sort of thing. Like, but I am going to ask everybody. The worst thing is that you hear nothing. Mm. The second worst thing is that they say no. I prefer that because at least they took the time to answer, but not hearing anything, you know, it was a boxer. Anyway, I remember being like, wow, what an incredible story. I'll ask him to be on. And I never got an answer, but I have an email that I can send that's copy paste, and I can ask anybody I want to be on my podcast. Mm-hmm. It doesn't do anything. So what's the worst case? Right. They don't want to be on. And I've asked to be on podcasts, and, you know, some people would just politely say we only accept guests that we search out and ask to be on. We don't take any referrals that's a worst case scenario, is that the answer is going to be no. Maybe what you're saying is that the worst case scenario is that the answer is yes, and they don't feel like they're worth it.
Yeah. Well, they don't even ask usually if they don't think they're good enough to go on. But charging people to be on your podcast is a great way to monetize it. I just didn't do it, but it is a great way. If you have this huge audience and you want to leverage it and monetize your guests, it's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. It's not like sneaky or shady or anything. No. Just another way.
There are people that do it. When you're busy enough, you can afford to, you know, charge for it. And so I don't think there's anything wrong with people who want to do that. The numbers better be exceptional to pay for anything. I know that we've been mentioning John Lee Dumas, and he started charging his guests because he was inundated. He releases every day, but he was inundated with people wanting to be on because he has such a great show and it's so popular. He has the numbers to support charging people. So I wouldn't be opposed to paying or to charging if the numbers were there.
But yeah, and it can be a very small audience, but it's very niche. Mm-hmm. So you can, even if there's only 500 mm-hmm. listeners, I tell my clients, because they don't want to go on these little shows, I'm like, go on the little shows, because you can't handle 500 clients tomorrow anyway. You can't. Mm-hmm. You don't have enough time for 500. So just go on it. Usually the host becomes a client. From what I've experienced is the host of the show becomes a client if they didn't know you at all. And then all of a sudden they're having a conversation with you and they're interested in that topic. You know, they're interested in that topic because the show's about the topic. So that happens a lot especially on the smaller shows. And like I said, I was booked up for 2 years from John Lee Dumas' show, but I didn't pay. I was the last 100 interviews that were unpaid.
I know. You got right in there. Yeah. And you know, it probably would be worth paying to be on his show if you can, if you can get that, if he has the right demographic, which pretty much, yeah. So I would say for people, if they get to the point where they're comfortable asking, you usually won't have to pay. Mm-hmm. And however, that's not a bad thing. And you're right. Again, it's not the number, it's the engagement. Mm-hmm. I want to ask you about moving to Florida and how that is.
It's fun. Yeah. It's we're in the rainy season now. So every day it's just like Hawaii, every day at 3-4 o'clock, it starts pouring.
I loved that. I mean, you love it you don't love it every day for months, but Arizona is like that. Hawaii was like that when I lived there. Yeah.
Yeah. And those are all the states that I've lived in. So
I know, I know. I think I probably follow you. No, I was in Hawaii before you. So
yeah.
But yeah, somehow we're following each other to states. But Florida is one of the states that we're like, that would be a good one to move to. Because in New England, that's where all the snowbirds went. And that's where everybody retired. So when I grew up in New England, I just thought, eventually you moved to Florida, right? That's what people do. So
I'm originally from California. So the freedom of the way the politics works here is very, you know, freedom and all. We hardly had a lockdown. I know it's a touchy subject with people, but they can.
Yeah. I don't care how people feel about it, as long as you're educated and informed, and that's definitely not mainstream media. So just get educated and informed, and whatever you decide, I 100% support it. And I expect that same courtesy, period. So yeah, Florida, politically, tax, corporate taxes, corporate law, it's one of the best states.
In
my opinion. So
yeah. And I lived on Disney property for a year, and now I'm in Margaritaville, which is they have a main hotel, and then they have little house cottages. So this is a little two-bedroom cottage thing.
You have, that is the coolest part of your job, I think. Can you talk a little bit? I mean, I love that you went from organization and minimalism to, like, I love this. This is a dream thing, I think, in my personal opinion.
Yeah. So I'm a hardcore minimalist, though. I only have what basically fits in my Jeep. So I have two dogs, a few suitcases, my laptop and stuff. And then I live at resorts that, well, they used to sponsor my podcast and things, and now I'm not doing any of that content right now. So the next place we go, we'll probably decide if we're going to pay for it or not, or whatever we do. But for what, 7 years now, I've been living at resorts and Airbnbs that sponsored my shows. And this is the last one. We're here for about a year. But yeah, we'll see where I go next.
I know. I love it. I want, if anybody's out there that wants to sponsor my podcast and let me live in an Airbnb or bring my RV that's almost done, mm-hmm. I'll just drive the RV on down. That would be good. What are any final tips and tricks or words of wisdom you'd have for someone starting a business or who did start in the pandemic? We talked a lot about social media and the time suck. What other recommendations do you have for people?
I know this is a podcast, but really cut back on the amount of content you're taking in, around this one. I had this client, she emailed me 6 pages of a to-do list. She took a picture of it, and I go, well, send it to me, 'cause I want to see what is consuming all your time. And there's all these to-dos, like pages of to-dos, because I heard that on so-and-so's podcast, so I want to implement it. I heard that, so I want to implement it. I heard that. I'm like, the podcast is giving you a to-do list. you're like, you're doing all these things because you heard it on a podcast, not because it makes sense for your business, not because you like that marketing strategy. You're implementing all these things because you, so stop listening and you'll get more clear on what to do in your own business, and just be more direct. Like, there's so many things that are dancing around the real revenue generation thing in your business, and it could be done so much more efficiently. So right now I in my webinar, I go over exactly what I do right now. It's different for other clients. They don't do what I do, but it's very direct. I go on other people's shows and collab with other people. I have a 2-hour webinar that shows everyone who I am and what I'm all about. So I don't have to nurture them for 4 years before they join anything. It's either a yes or no, and I'm always getting new people. So that's basically all I'm doing right now. So no more editing my own shows or anything. I'm just going on other people's shows and inviting people to that one webinar. I don't even invite anyone. They just find it. So I don't really invite people to it. Maybe a post here and there, but.
I mean, that's a great problem to have. I know when I saw you back on Facebook, I was like, is this you? Are you, is somebody creating a post for you? What's happening? Because I was so surprised because you have figured out a system that's worked really well for you to continue to get exposure and clients. And yeah, referrals for sure. I mean, in the 5 years, I'll keep referring people to you. So that's what happens. You create genuine relationships and connections and you do great things for each other. And then that person wants to tell everybody about you. So hire Erica, everyone. That's the bottom line. Hire Erica. She'll make you do things that you don't want to do and you'll complain and she'll tell you to do them and you will and you'll be glad. And
I'm still not sure about Facebook. I'm back on for a couple weeks now and I really have strong feelings about them as a company. So I just
don't. Me too.
Yeah. So I just don't, it's kind of what we have, but hopefully something better comes out or hopefully the people in charge of it get what's coming to them.
Yeah. I mean, something. That's why for a couple of years I've been like, come on. I get that this is the main space where we need to be, but holy cow, something's got to give with this. So be patient,
and
it's people.
Interesting living without Facebook. Like I couldn't make a nail appointment because my nail, I usually would make it on Facebook with them. You know what I mean?
So like, oh my gosh.
So like just every area of your life, you're like, well, how did I used to do that? It's like, I have to, you know, do I have to be on Facebook to make a nail appointment?
Isn't that weird? It's weird how things change. Thank you so much for being on. I just adore you.
Thank you. I adore you too. And it's great seeing you again.
Spending your time with me on At a Crossroads with the Naked Podcaster. I'm so glad that you joined our conversation. If you can take 2 minutes to share this episode with someone you think can benefit from it or it would have a positive impact on their life, that would be amazing. Go to the podcast page to sign up for the free membership site where all guest links are available. This podcast is designed to help you in your struggles. So reach out and let me know what you enjoy or what you would like to see more of. It will support me on the journey of causing a worldwide epidemic of healing, gratitude, and joy. Until next time, remember you are not alone in your struggle. Reach out to me on any platform. I love to connect. You are worth it to me. Have an amazing day.